Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2021 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
All right. Welcome to the Kill Zone class. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you so much. Sorry that we started a little bit late. It actually blessed me because my computer was on the finicky, so it actually helped. I'd have to sit up here and act like I was doing something. So, okay. You guys have had some really amazing speakers. It's been awesome. You guys have, Elizabeth Zufelt, she's at our booth, I think, right now, unless she's here. She just said, like, Justin, you got to really step it up with the parents because you guys have really had some good classes. We're going to talk about the Kill Zone. So I just did a class just a few minutes ago with your youth, and I loved it. They probably didn't, but I really loved what it was. And a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I mean, here's my moment of honesty. When I put yours together, what it came down to is I'm trying to give you the same tools. I'm going to give you a lot of the same presentations, because when you go home, yes, I've said it, but if you as a parent don't know what they're even talking about, well, it's probably going to go in their notebook, be closed, and be put away. So I'm going to give you some of the same tools. We're going to kind of talk about some of the same things. I love marriage counseling. As far as like what I'm going to do a little marriage counseling today with you, and we're going to kind of wrap it up with their presentation. So you can go home with some extra tools and really start this conversation. I really believe, as you all do, that's why you're here, that this all starts at home with you. If you don't have a conversation, then it never gets going. Your kids are going to be on their own. So it's up to you guys. Overcoming personal battles, of course, is what we're going to talk about. But the Kill Zone, who has heard of a Kill Zone? Who knows what it is? Where the battle is. I love that. It is where the battle is. So it's the Kill Zone is a situation that forces you to be channeled through a small area and causes a group of warriors to slow down, bunch together. So you're easier to hit. That's called a fatal funnel, a vortex of death, most commonly referred to as a kill zone. This has been in every single battle ever that's happened in the world. If you're LDS, which I think most of us are, even the pre-existence, this was used. So who knows of the Mighty 300, the Spartans? Who knows that story? So if you think about that story, the Mighty 300, they 300, and then we always say 300, but there's actually an extra 1,500 we don't really like to mention. But there were 300 Spartans, and they're against the armies of Xerxes. Of course, there's the numbers are, you know, back and forth, but let's just say there was 100,000. Some people say a million. Some people say, you know, 50,000. Let's just say 100,000. Now, the Mighty 300 Spartans, they had a choice. They could go on the open battlefield against Xerxes and his 100,000 force, but what did they do instead? Who knows the story? Who can tell me? Where did they fight? The valley. It was a very narrow valley, and it's a little cliff walkway. One side's a steep cliff, and it's, you know, a couple wagons wide, and it goes to this narrow part of a valley. And there the 300 stood, plus 1,500. There the 300 stood, and that way, when the 100,000 soldiers came towards them, who did they have to fight, really? The 300 or so that was right in front of them. Of course, some arrows, but the 300 that stood in front of them. That is a kill zone. It could be used both ways, which we'll talk about a little bit later. The Arabians used it. If you think of knights, and if you think of any knights, you know, knights in shining armor time, you have this big army that comes from one side, you have the other army that comes from the other side. They shoot arrows at each other, and they charge each other, and they have big, you know, freedom, and they charge it towards each other. That is a kill zone. Now, you're right. In World War II, it changed, right? In World War II, all of a sudden the battlefield was worldwide. And then it's shifted a lot in time, but this is the kill zone we are mainly going to focus on as parents. That is the spiritual kill zone. Now, the spiritual kill zone, it's in the brain. It happens in the mind. The physical or the spiritual kill zone follows the same structure as a physical kill zone, namely forcing the enemy into a centralized location where you're easier to hit. Now, I'm a soldier, and I think I'm okay fighting, but if I were to fight all of you, would I just fight you in this room right here? You'd take me down. You would. Would I take you out to the field and try to fight you? No. I would probably close these doors, and I would sit in some corner and put some stuff around me, and I would open one door, and I'd probably just open it for you. Then you won't go anywhere else. I'd open that door for you, and I'd wait for you to come through that spot. Why? Narrow, right? I have to aim my gun. This. That is it. And I don't have to worry about anything else. I really want you to get this concept, because in your children's life, in your life, in your children's life, they are dealing with these kill zones over and over and over and over and over again. The big kill zone most of us are dealing with is this, right? Phones. And I say in the bedroom because it was like, oh, you know, don't let your kids have it in the bedroom. And I totally 100 million percent implore and ask and beg you, do not let your kids take their phones to their bedrooms. Ever, and even during the day. But now just general maintenance. And I have to be honest with you, I am probably one of the worst examples, because now I work at home all the time and I'm on my phone working. And my lovely wife, she works, she's, you know, taking care of the kids and all that stuff, and she's on her phone, and the kid's like, oh my gosh, why are you on the phone? It's like, well, I'm dealing with your life right now. I'm scheduling and doing everything, because everything has moved to that. But that is a kill zone. If you spend long enough time, right? If you spend enough time, what eventually will happen to our kids? Single dating, sleepover, social media, gaming, DMing, anything. I want you to be like, anything can be a kill zone. Who likes to fast on Sundays? I hate to fast on Sundays. I've always struggled. I'm like lost weight. These packs are going down. Okay, so I've always hated it. As a child, I have memories of getting in trouble because I'm like, I'm missing food. My little tummy is hurting. I remember when I was 18, I told the kids this. When I was 18 years old, I was out in the on a military exercise out in the field, and it was Fast Sunday. I was trying to be good, and it was like 9. I was like, oh, I'm so hungry, and I peeled open an MRE, and I reached and I pulled out the little pack of crackers. Cracked it open. I took a bite of my crackers. I was like, oh, that was so unsatisfying. Like, that was terrible. But I ate that, and I struggled, because what do I think all day on Fast Sunday? Food. I think I'm hungry, and I'm hungry, and I need food, even a crust of bread, right? That is a kill zone. If you sit in a spot long enough, there's an old saying. There's an old saying in bars. If you sit in a bar long enough, what are you going to do? Eventually take a drink. If you sit in a church long enough, what are you going to find? God. You're going to eventually find God, right? That is what we're talking about. Here's a few amazing people from history. You know, King David, what was his kill zone? What happened? Bathsheba. I brought up General Petraeus, right? And the kids didn't know who that was. But General Petraeus, anyone know that story? What happened there? There's a journalist. That's the journalist. And he spent a lot of time. She was doing the biography on him. That man would have been president. Should have been president. But Bathsheba, in essence, took him down, right? Okay, so here's some tools. I'm going to switch a little bit. I'm going to switch. So the kill zone. Your kids know the kill zone now. I want you guys to think of life when they're dealing with their friends, when they're dealing with social media, when they're dealing with schooling. Think kill zone. This is where Satan wants to play. If you play in Satan's playground, you are going to lose every time, right? That's what you need to start playing with them. Start using the word. Are you in a kill zone? Are you not in a kill zone? Ask your kids that. They know what it is now. They know what it looks like. Use that verbiage so they understand. They can have that conversation. All right. I'm going to shift gears. We have a couple tools. First one, this is your marriage. Congratulations. Right here, this is your marriage. There have been thousands and thousands of studies that have studied the happiness in marriages, and this is the curve, the general curve in all marriages. This is just what happens. We start off, in fact, I'll give you the beginning, actually. In the beginning of the marriage, we have this awesome time where we're dating somebody, and it kind of wanes. And then we're going to get married, and then life happens. Now, there's a kill zone to marriage as well, and it's right here. Right there. That's the kill zone to marriage, where we just really struggle with our marriage of what we're thinking about. We're thinking about, you know, money. We're thinking about time. We're thinking about the things we want to do. We're thinking of ourselves. And these are like when kids are coming in, financial burdens and savings and college and raising kids. This is a hard time. And but the truth is, if we can get past this kill zone in marriage, the good times begin. That's when, they, you know, the grandparents start giving you food, you know, handing out candy to your kids, and that's a good time. The reason I bring up the marriage is because your kids will mimic what you're doing. How many of you have done something, like an argument or conversation or something with your spouse, and afterwards you're like, oh my gosh, you remember your parents acting the same way? Anyone have that before? My dad did not like conflict at all. They never had conflict. I remember when my mother and my father would fight, my father would leave. He would totally get out of the house and walk away and leave. And now for me, how do I argue every time? I walk away either mentally or physically. I will walk away. I do not like conflict. I step back. Your kids are going to act the same way. So through this kill zone, you are mimicking they're going to mimic how you react. Also, number two, this chart, I think by law, should be shown to every youth. Because I counsel youth, I counsel newlyweds, and I counsel older couples, and they don't know this. They're still waiting for their knight in shining armor to ride up and take them off into forever of happily ever after. Even, you know, men and women, we think marriage is supposed to be like this amazingly peaceful, calm, like no problems. Is it? Studies show that the first 5 years is the biggest threat. The first 5 years. And I'm just... Sorry, I know I'll just go off because I love this stuff. I love the marriage stuff. Okay, so what happens really quick, people drop off, you get married, you go with this, and somewhere around here, right here, someone says, you know what, I made a mistake, and they bail out. And they go back. And guess what? Now they're happy again, right here. Now they're up here like, oh, I found somebody. It's my forever love. And then they get married, and guess what? They get down here again with that same person, and guess what happens? I made a mistake again. I am so terrible at making mistakes. And they bail. You know, the first-time marriage, the divorce rate of a first-time marriage is like 40-something percent, like 42, 43%. A second and, you know, subsequent marriage, it's like 70, right? 60 and then 70 and 80, it just goes up every marriage because they get to this point, not knowing that it's just natural. It's life. This is marriage. Okay, the three phases. It's broken down into three phases. You look at this. There's the honeymoon, and there's... reality. So honeymoon is, I remember my wife would, I'll go back on me. When I eat cereal, when we first got married, she was like, ah, oh, he's so cute, he's eating cereal. And now I walk into a room and she's on the computer working, I walk in the room, I'm eating cereal, and she gives me the look, I turn around and just walk right back out. Because I suspect I'm very annoying when I eat, and that's just how it is. Like, you like the little nibble, the little chips. Like, no, just eat the chip. Just dip it. Just eat it. Just be done. That's where reality is. That's where most of us are right now. We're learning reality. And then we get to a point of acceptance, which is like, eat the chip however you want. I can't hear anyways. Who cares? We're good. We all want a well-functioning family to start, but that well-functioning family starts with you. Your couple, your spouse, your relationships. That's where you have to start fighting against difficulties in life. You have to be able to function and properly handle hard situations and difficulties for your kids to then learn how to function and get through hard difficulties so they can then handle them and teach their kids how to handle hard situations. It's a learning process. You have to build that foundation. That's why I wanted you to see that chart. I showed the kids the exact same chart so they... have no they know marriage is hard. And I want you to please go home, show them that chart, show them this first part so they understand that as well. Start that conversation. Be that a source of information for them. Okay, so keys to success. There's a teacher, I'm going to jump back. So keys to success is emotional intelligence. Who can tell me what emotional intelligence is? What is emotional intelligence? There's a gentleman named Gottman. He's like the godfather of marriage seminars, of marriage. He has he did this apartment study, is what it's called. If you type in apartment study, he did it, like, he's still doing them. Within 5 to 10 minutes, or 15 minutes on the when I pulled this up, within 15 minutes, with a 93 to 95% accuracy, he will be able to find out or tell you right then if that couple will divorce or stay married. Right then, he'll say, yep, they're going to make it, or nope, they're not going to make it. With a 95%, let's just say 95% accuracy rate. The reason is he looks for emotional intelligence. Let me see on this one. Okay, emotional intelligence. Who can tell me that's your spouse's favorite color? Okay? Who can, if your spouse works, who do they have troubles with at work? Who do they not get along with? Can you tell me their name? Can you tell me the conflict? If your spouse has a dream, Do you know what it is? If they have a nightmare, do you know what it is? That is emotional intelligence. That's the foundation you need to build with yourselves as well as your children. You should be able to answer the same questions with your children. That foundation, when hard times come, they need a hard and solid place to stand on that they say, okay, I know as a spouse to have that, but also as a children, I know my parents know my dreams, they know my fears, and they can help me get around those because they know. They know what I'm afraid of. They know my favorite thing. They know my best friend just did something terrible and made me sad, and they can talk to me about it because, one, you've already been there, right? As parents, you've already been there. That is emotional intelligence. That is something you have to create, and it's asking questions. It's having conversations. I mean, I'm sorry if you wanted to leave. Right now, if I just told you, my class is about communication, 100%. Now, I'm going to give you some tools on how to do communication, but that is my class. You have to communicate. And it has to be open and all this other fun stuff we'll get into, but it has to be communication. Okay, active listening. Your youth went through an active listening exercise. Who has done active listening before? Anyone? So what I want you to do is I want you to pair up. So if you're not, like, if there's someone right next to you, awesome, that is now your active listening partner. Please just go ahead and pair up now, just right next to somebody. I know you're just, if it's your spouse, awesome. If it's not, if it's some stranger, welcome to the conversation. Active listening. So let me have a partner. I'll bring my partner up. Come on up. Okay, so you're going to face each other. You're actually going to face each other. You're going to look each other in the eyes. I know it's weird as a spouse. We have to do it sometimes, though. Look each other in the face. Okay, now, who's the listener? You have to identify who's a listener and who's a speaker. So we have a listener and a speaker, and you have to have a well-defined subject. Now, it can't be like, what's something very broad? I can't, my brain didn't even think of something very broad. Like, education's good. Right? That's not a conversation you have. You're going to say BYU or UVU. Or, you know, if you're talking to your spouse. Today, we're going to go very simple. We're going to do Costa Vida and Cafe Rio. Who's my Costa Vida people? Yeah, that's my people. How about my Cafe Rio people? I'm sorry you haven't gone to the right side yet. You'll get there. So... So you have your two sides, your listener and your speaker. Your listener, they literally listen. I know it's weird. They listen. The only thing they're allowed to say is when the speaker is done speaking, they regurgitate or they copy and make sure the speaker, that they understood the speaker. Well, that did not go well. Okay. You're only allowed to use I statements. I feel, I think, I should, I. You're not allowed to make any assumptions. You're not allowed no mind reading. No jumping to conclusions. It is a I conversation back and forth. Okay, so they're going to mimic this. Who is my Costa Vida? Who's the... Okay, what's something else? Sprite and root beer? Waffles and pancakes? Waffles and pancakes. Okay, so as a speaker, what is your reason? You go ahead with the conversation.
Okay, I'm just explaining why I like...
I feel
like pancakes are so much better because they're super fluffy.
And then the listener says,
so I understood that you like pancakes because you like the fluffy texture.
Now there's a correction. She says, the speaker will say, if like, maybe you said because it was so tall. They're so tall. No, not because they're tall, because they're fluffy. You make the correction, then she says, oh, so you meant fluffy? Yes, and you go back. This is a very slow conversation, but it's supposed to be a slow conversation. That's the whole point of it. It slows the entire thing down. You're not like rapid firing and saying things you shouldn't say. It slows everything down, makes it very clear for each other. Thank you, go ahead and sit down. So if you're here with your spouse, please, for the love of heaven, do not pick something difficult and a hard conversation on this. I have been in sessions that is... just doesn't go well. Let's pick something very, very light, very, very simple. Yes. I do have to tell a story because I have to tell a story every time I do this, any seminar now. My wife and I came home and we start arguing, conversation. We start arguing and the kids are in I and we're in trouble with mother. It's like, oh, crap. And she's saying, I told you to do this and I told you to do this. And we're like, we don't know what you're talking about. And we were like really getting in trouble. And finally, we all concluded that we had never heard what she had told us. And Leilani looks at us, she says, it's not about what you heard, it's about what I said. And we all bust up laughing. It was like, oh my gosh, that is so funny. I'm using that forever. Yes. It's about both. It's communication. It's both ways. It's not about what you, if, the communication is two ways, right? You have to have the other side. And this creates that. So I'm going to give you a minute and a half to discuss root beer, Sprite, Costa Vida, and this is, so this conversation is like a 30-minute, 40-minute conversation. I personally say 40 minutes max, so 20 minutes each side, depending on the situation and the topic. But that's where you get. Okay, ready? Great control on that. So remember that when this is control, right? You have to maintain control. If you lose control or if it goes like you start saying you statements, break contact, break the conversation, walk away, take a break, and then come back and try it again. And then if you're finding that it's hard to remember, like your mind is going so many ways, then tell your whoever you have that conversation with, let them know. Say, hey, can you break these down into smaller bits? Because I'm having a hard time like maintaining everything you're saying. So your kids did this morning. They did this exact same exercise. I challenge them to go to you guys and try this. Please, if it's okay, if you want to, they know it. They just experienced it this morning. I challenge you to do this with them and also your spouse if you want to. Now, the first couple times are kind of rough. I'm not going to lie, especially if you get into a deep conversation. Just give it time. We don't sit there and break anymore, but it's kind of more fluid, and you get to that point where you create your own system of communication. It just requires you to slow down and go through the conversation. Next one, apologizing. I'm a terrible apologizer. I am. I like to hold on to stuff as long as I can and fester about it and think about it and really get my juice out of it and then move on. Apologizing. Apologize. Remember, not only is apologizing hard to do, it's also hard to receive. You have to apologize. Your kids need you to accept their apology. You need to apologize to your kids. My wife and I, her and her daughter, they got in a little tiff the other day. My wife's amazing. She realized it, and she's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for like the conversation we've had. Homework tonight. I love this homework. It's my favorite homework. Shower challenge. Okay, there's tons and tons and tons and tons of studies about showers. I won't go into it. But who goes to a shower and then just for some reason thinks so much clearer? Anybody else? Anybody have like really clear thoughts in showers? It's amazing. I don't know. There's studies on it, and it's like, there's all these, it jumps all these chemicals in your brain. Okay, so with your spouse, go into the shower with your spouse, and you have this conversation. The showers are awesome because it's usually untimely. If you have a water heater, that conversation is not going longer than 40 minutes, guaranteed. You're going to be stopping that conversation. It's fantastic. It puts you on neutral ground. There's no electronics. There's no kids. There's, like I said, neutral. Like, you're both dressed the exact same way. And if you have one shower head, it requires you to share while you're having an argument. There is so much power in that, like, oh, you're cold. Okay, switch. And then keep arguing. It's like, it's awesome. So this is the shower challenge. It is awesome. It is fantastic. If you can't do a shower, if that's not what you're going to do, find another way to have a conversation with your spouse. Remember, you are the foundation for your kids. You're going to help them overcome difficulties. You have to have a strong relationship. My wife and I, it'll be like midnight 30, and we're like, oh, crap, we haven't spoken today in a quiet, secluded, like away from other people. We'll hop in the shower for 15, 20 minutes, have a quick conversation, just get that communication together, and then we hop out and go to bed, and we're done. We go to, the next day. It's very, very, very powerful tool for you can use. Okay, this is a tool I taught your kids. Can you stop a habit? You can replace it. All the studies show if you try to stop a habit cold turkey, it's not going well for you. It's not going to work out. You have to replace it with something else. How do you replace it? There's a lot of good studies on this. There's three steps. You kids know these three steps? It is. They have to answer these three questions. That's not steps, questions. If you can answer these three questions, if your kid can answer these three questions, they will move forward. First, can they do it? Can I do it? Do they have the knowledge, the ability, the time? Do they have the tools to be able to do something? Could you imagine, like, hey, build a birdhouse, but there's no wood and no hammer? It's not going to work out. You're not going to start that dumb thing. So you have to know that you can do it. Question number two, will it work? Yeah, I can go out and do that. I can build a birdhouse, but if I live in Antarctica, there's no reason to build a birdhouse. I won't do that. Will it work? Whatever you're doing, whatever you're moving forward with, it has to be able, they have to understand and believe that it will work. Number three, is it worth it? The one I always give couples is, let's say your spouse comes to you and say, hey, you know what? We're not going to eat out anymore for the rest of the month or the year. We're not going to go out and hang out with friends. We're not going to host anybody. We're going to stay home, eat beans and rice, rice and beans. And you know what? By the end of the month, we're going to save 50 cents. Who's signing up for that plan? right? Now, if they come to us and say, hey, you know what, we're going to save $3,000 a month, and we're going to go to Europe twice a year, who's going to sign up for that plan? Sign me up. I'll do that. They have to answer these three questions. Will it work? And then is it worth it? If they answer these three questions, then that will answer that question. Because if you're looking ahead and say, okay, can I do it? Will it work? And is it worth it? And if all those three are yeses, then they want to do it at that point. If you can't answer that, it ain't happening, right? For example, you already do this. When my kids, or if you and your kids say, I can't, like, go vacuum the front room. I can't do it. Well, guess what? You answer that question. If you don't go vacuum that room right now, I'm going to spank you, I'm going to ground you, and whatever. You can do this. And they walk in there and do it. Well, you just answer those three questions. Of course they go vacuum the floor. They can do it. They already know that. It's definitely worth their time. They don't want to get spanked, so they're going to jump in there and do that. You answer these questions already for them. Okay. What happens when our children run into adversity? This is a tool I want to teach you that I did not teach the youth. I want you to go home and teach your kids this tool. If your kids are not prepared for a situation, when you run into somebody and they ask you to drink, do you fall to it? Or do something illegal? You normally don't because you're adults. You have experiences in your life that has given you the experience to say no, and nothing's really a surprise. If you see something, you are able to react to it. Your kids don't have the same experiences as you. If they go to a party and people are drinking and they stay there, well, like, just like that saying before, you stay in a bar long enough, they're going to drink. Well, guess what? They're there long enough. They're going to drink eventually. You have to have them prepared with what's called the flashbang. It's a kill zone, but this is the flashbang. It's something kind of cool we talk about. Anyone knows what a flashbang is? Anyone ever seen one before? A flashbang is a handheld device. It looks like a grenade. Has a bunch of holes in the side, has a pin, just like that, just like a grenade, has a spoon. When you pull that pin and throw it, after about 5 to 10 seconds, it's going to flash and bang. It's going to flash and bang. The flash is going to blind you. The bang is going to hurt your ears so to the point where it either breaks your eardrums or you're going to cover, and you're going to kind of just close your eyes and get away from the sound. And then the third thing is a wave of sound actually fills the room and hits your body, and it overwhelms your mind. Your body can't handle it. Your mind shuts down. It says, I'm done. I'm going out. And it turns internal towards itself, and it only thinks about itself. How am I doing? How am I feeling? It doesn't care what happens in the future. It doesn't care about the lessons in the past. It only cares about right now, right this second. That's what a flashbang does. Now, it can causes confusion. Now, this happens in life. Think about it. If a youth shows up to a party and they're not ready for it, they'll sit there long, or even better, because we're all dealing with this. A kid's on a computer or a phone, and they see something. If they stay there, just like you have 4 to 6 seconds on a flashbang, if they stay there longer than 4 to 6 seconds, you guys have all read the books, it goes off, and their mind shuts down. It doesn't think about the future. It doesn't care about the consequences they get caught, and they forget their past. They forget the lessons you've given them. You have to teach them right now, when you hit a situation, to escape right then. Don't stay in the room. They have to kick that flashbang out of the room, or they have to leave immediately. Right then. That is the number one key to success for them when they have a challenge that they're running into, temptation. So, close your eyes, kick the door down, or get out. Do your best to prepare them for many situations you can, but there are situations you won't be able to prepare them for. There are situations, moments that they're going to run into, just like you. If you think about your life, have you ever ran into a situation that surprised you? You didn't know how to react? As an adult, we run into stuff like, oh, yeah, I can handle that, whatever. But as a kid, they don't have your experience. They don't have your history. They don't have those things in life, that background. So you have to teach them how to get out of those specific moments. This is how they get out of it. When they see those images, when they walk to a party, they see that alcohol, they leave right then. If someone turns on music, my son the other day, him and his friend, they were at a party, there was people playing music that was explicit, and they said, you need to turn the music off right now or we're leaving. They did. They turned off the music. They escaped that moment right then. Something I teach, if it's a temptation in the mind, so it's, again, the battle zone of the mind, the kill zone, this is, I love this tool. It is singing. Teach your kids when they have bad thoughts to start singing. Start singing. You know, I personally rely on church songs when I was younger, but it can be any song. I mean, there's times I've sang Twisted Sister. I know, but it's just to get my mind to start churning in a different direction, to get away from those thoughts and temptations and get out of that situation. Of the battlefield of the mind, songs are an amazing tool to get out of those thoughts. Help your children defeat their foe. Remember foe, F-O-H. Do I have it on there? This is what frequently, conversations. It has to be, it's not a one and done conversation. It has to be continually, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it is, you have to have a frequent conversation with your children to develop that relationship where they can come and rely on you. You have to do it. It has to be something. We moved recently, and I went to the school with my son, and I walked in, and he was crying. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So I took him to lunch. We sat down. We were conversing. They're like, oh, man, we hadn't reestablished that frequent conversation, which we have now. But it has to be. They have to be able to rely on. And if you have that frequent conversation, then they will build that relationship to come back to you when they have troubles. Openly, this requires patience. You have to have open conversations. You have to be open to whatever your child's going to tell you. If they saw pornography, okay, they saw pornography. Guess what? That's life. 99.9% of men in this world see pornography probably on a yearly basis. That's open. Just have that conversation. Be ready for that and have it open. Like, okay, awesome. How do we move beyond that? There's a really cool tool. It's called the Amnesty Box, Amnesty Location in your home. There's a lot of families that they have a spot where you, like, it's a time or a spot in the home. They come and they'll tell you, divulge something, and it can be anything. And they don't get in trouble for it. Now, that doesn't mean there's not corrections. That does not mean that there's not a conversation. It's not like you forget it, but it's amnesty. It's a moment where they can just divulge and talk, but you want them to. If it's stuck in their mind, you want them to say these things and converse with you. And I love this. Ask yourself what you want more, to punish them for their mistake or help them from future exposure. That's what you have to answer. You want your kids to talk to you and tell you the hardships that they're having. You are the person that has to, you're their foundation. They're going to learn everything. Like, they're learning from you how you're reacting. You being here is one of the most powerful things that you can do. The kill zone is not Satan's. The kill zone is actually God's tool. God came up with this first. When he tells you to go to church, to go to youth activities, to read your scriptures, to make your home a temple, a righteous place, those are all kill zones. He is telling you, he's teaching you to create a kill zone in your life. Now, Satan took it and he has reversed, engineered it to hurt us, but help your kids build their own kill zones. If you help them go to church, scriptures and reading and all those things we all know we need to do, if they remain there, well, guess what? Just like the alcoholic the person who becomes an alcoholic, if they're always in church, they find God. It's the exact same. It's both sides. The kill zone has no king. It has no ruler. It's loyal to no one. Whoever uses it wins. If you use the kill zone properly, you win. If you go into Satan's kill zone, you'll lose. Teach your kids that. When Adam and Eve came to earth, God said, hey, there's a tree over there, don't eat from it, and prune the garden, and they left. But why did not God not give Adam and Eve a warning? Why didn't he sit them across the table and say, hey, Adam and Eve, guess what? You're going to have a struggle. There's going to be a serpent guy, he's going to come in, he's going to tell you some stuff. Don't believe him, just maintain you're okay. The reason is because God trusted Adam and Eve. He trusted that they would make a mistake and they would find their way back to him. It's the same with you. In parenting and everything you're doing, you're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes every day with my kids. We all do. God trusts you. It's okay. It's all right. Parenting's awesome. Use the tools you can. Go out there and talk to your freaking kids every freaking day. We do have a friend. We have an acquaintance. They said that the husband spoke to their sons every day, every single day about pornography. And guess what? The kids still struggled with it. Like, you do just do your very best, and that's what you can give. You're leaps and bounds ahead by being in these meetings right here, learning and showing your kids that you care enough about them to be here. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, please let me know, and thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.